What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, June 20th, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the busiest lady in the business, Andrew Renee.
What's good, Greg?
You know video games are good, Andrew.
They really are.
They are. What'd you play last night?
I played Record the Podcast. It's this new game.
For What's Good Games.
Yeah, that's right.
You can get that at youtube.com/What's Good Games.
That's correct. I'm going out of town next week. Tomorrow. Tomorrow. Days are hard.
It's rough.
I'm meeting my best friend from college, and we're not going to talk about video games.
Nice. Yeah. You're going to drink some wine?
Yes, we're going on an all-day wine tour, actually.
There it is. Should be fun.
Is
she coming here? Are you going somewhere?
No, we're going to Seattle for the weekend.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. All right.
Gonna meet up with that blonde nerd.
I've heard of her.
Say hello.
Yes, I've heard of this Brittany woman.
Yes.
Yes.
She's lovely.
She is pretty cool. Yeah. Has she come down yet from Resident Evil 2's announcement?
No, she's still soaring high.
Okay.
Feeling good.
Good for her.
We talked about it on the show last night.
Yeah. So. When is that available?
It's available Friday morning. You can get it on podcast services, where hopefully you're subscribed to Kind of Funny Games Daily. You could subscribe to What's Good Games, too.
Yeah. And on YouTube, right?
Is it YouTube.com/What's Good Games.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday in a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Write in at kindoffunny.com/KFGD with your bad PSN names, questions, comments, concerns, and everything else under the video game sun. Then watch us record it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. That way we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. Prom is next week. Kinda Funny Prom is 10 days away, June 30th. It's a Saturday here in San Francisco. It's not too late to come. Kindoffunny.com/tickets. You don't want to miss it. See what Andrew Renee's prom dress will end up looking like.
Well, it's got lace and tulle, it's pink.
Is the husband coming?
Of course he's coming.
Is he wearing a crazy tux suit or something, or is he just wearing a suit?
So I was actually talking about that with Tim this morning.
Yeah.
Because there are a couple suit options floating around.
Sure.
He was looking at renting a weird tux, and now we're looking at maybe buying like a complimentary suit. Mm. Haven't settled on something yet.
I'm starting to panic because I had to hit up my suit people and be like, hey, this yet. I haven't had an update on this suit's shipping since Thursday. And they're like, well, we're looking into it. So they're on top of their customer service. Good. So I think it'll be all right. But
well, here's the good news. You could always one day Amazon Prime something.
I know. I can figure out something. I want a goofy suit. You can find a goofy suit. No problem.
Yeah.
Also, today we're brought to you by Brooklinen and MeUndies, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. 7 items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
You're telling me, Kev.
That's a lot.
I know, and a lot. Here's what I've struggled with as I laid it out, because I was here 6:45 this morning. Had a 7 o'clock VO appointment.
I saw that you were tweeting about that.
And then Kevin and I played Fortnite like a bunch of goons. So there's a lot of stories here. Nothing that's like, I think, earth shattering. Do you think the breaking one is big enough to be the most exciting thing on the Roper Report? I think it might be. The most interesting, at least.
Definitely not the most interesting.
Let's start there then. So okay. We have a breaking news. We originally had 6. Now we have 7. Andrea, what did you bring me from Polygon.com?
So Chris Plant over there has written an article titled Crackdown 3's original co-developer and series creator are no longer on the project.
Dun, dun, dun.
And the state of Regent Games is in question.
Dun, dun, dun.
So he writes, when Crackdown 3 was announced in 2014, Microsoft emphasized the return of series creator Dave Jones and his new company, Cloudgen?
I think it's like engine, so Cloudgen.
Cloudgen. That's a weird way to spell that. Which provided a cloud computing service to help power in-game destruction that would otherwise be impossible on a baseline Xbox One. In an interview with the Kotaku around that time, Xbox head Phil Spencer, now executive vice president of gaming at Microsoft, said, Jones's company is doing a lot of technology behind Crackdown. But earlier this year, Fortnite creator Epic Games announced that it had acquired Cloudgen. Jones left the creative director role at the project's co-developed Region Games, and with it Crackdown 3, to take the role of director of cloud and esports strategies at Epic.
Mm.
The move raises questions about Microsoft's plans for the game's big multiplayer destruction. The initial description of the destruction sounded almost futuristic. Quote, unlike other games, this wall has compute power and memory on demand, end quote, Jones told Games Magazine. Each single bullet will take away a little bit of the geometry and everything is physical. In true Crackdown style, if I want to be at the top of a building, any building, and create a little sniper nest and shoot my friends from there so they can hardly see me, then that's pretty exciting. That's the kind of thing we can do. So they go into some more details about past versions of the game. And then Chris says, last week at E3 2018, we spoke with Microsoft Studios head Matt Booty about the state of the destruction mode, which the company hasn't shown since that 2015 Gamescom demo. Booty confirmed the destruction-heavy online multiplayer mode remains in development. Quote, it is still part of Crackdown 3. We're not showing a lot of detail about that here. We'll have more to show as the year goes on. So, when asked for clarity about these things, is basically just saying we're not getting into details about it at this time. And Booty confirmed that Microsoft is no longer working with Jones or Region Games on Crackdown 3. We're just working with Sumo Digital right now. That's our main development partner. As you know, I'm sure you know, any game has got a number of folks that come in to help us with content and some development. But Sumo's our main partner on Crackdown.
What's your read?
Well,
is it that just Crackdown 3 can't buy a fucking break? Is it that Crackdown 3 has been in development so long? Of course the multiplayer is incredibly different.
Yeah, it's concerning for fans of the franchise that the original development head is gone. And that they've now, what sounds like they've switched hands from three separate development teams.
Mm-hmm.
That's also concerning from a cohesive standpoint,
right,
with their production timelines and the feature set that they originally started out with. This is obviously why this game has been delayed multiple times, right, and it's now not coming out until 2019.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to be honest. I was never like super like OMG Crackdown,
yeah,
but I know that a lot of people out there are fans of this series. And so this isn't good news.
No, I mean, here's my thing. It's not good news the way it's being delivered, how it's coming out, what's going on. Maybe in the end it will be. Like, when you're talking about a game that was announced in 2014 that has been pushed and pulled so much, that has gone dark so many times, it feels like, that has been delayed again recently and this, that, and the other, and Terry Crews is now like the main character. And I was sure the game we were going to get in 2019, hopefully, knock on wood, wasn't going to be the same vision we had in 2014. I feel like that could have been, maybe you want to express this without this coming out. But again, right, I'm Microsoft. Like, you know, Matt Booty's saying, like, yeah, it's still in development. We're just not getting into those details yet. I'm sure they didn't want to talk about those details till they were ready to actually say something. Because again, Microsoft's got to be in a place with this game where it's shit or get off the pot, where we can't keep coming out and showing things. We can't come out and talk about it until we have something to show and be like, hey, here it is. And
agreed.
So I feel for him on that. It's just this thing. I wonder for more like you're talking about, like, you know, Jared Petty was super excited for this one and or is super excited for Crackdown 3. And so does this in any way affect him? Like, again, my Crackdown multiplayer experience, cool that the bullets and everything's physical and everything, you know, it's one for one or whatever. Like, I just want to jump around and get orbs with my friends. Like, and I want that to be fun and I don't want that to be all there is. And so how are you iterating on that? The cloud thing is something that was such a big deal as a buzzword when you announced Crackdown 3, when the Xbox One was a very different machine. I don't think it matters that much now. It just does feel like all of a sudden a punch in the gut of this game that can't get a positive headline to save its life.
Well, also the idea that the way that the development was shaping up for the baseline Xbox One, hopefully they're not locking to that because they have the Xbox One X now.
Sure, of course.
And they have this.
So much has changed since 2014.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's a completely different hardware landscape for Xbox. And as a first party exclusive, you would hope that they would optimize it as best as they can and use whatever resources they need to do so for their proprietary piece of hardware.
Yeah.
But it doesn't sound like that. It sounds like they're trying to course correct now, which is good, but man, I think we need to like
temper all expectations.
Well, that, and also like call up Danny O'Dwyer or somebody to go get the inside scoop of what's happening over there.
Can you imagine if he can go over and do a noclip about everything that's going on with Region Games and how this is affected? But yeah, it's interesting. I did miss that Epic and Fortnite had acquired Cloud Engine.
This is
Cloudgine.
It's weird, right? I guess you don't say engine. Cloudgen. It's just weird because there's too many consonants next to each other.
People do this all the time. Try to get creative with their business name. No, don't bother. Just keep it normal. Keep it straight. Let me, make it so anybody can read it and know what it is.
Yeah.
I don't need to. I've worked with companies where I got to watch a video to see how to say the. No, that's bad right there. Yeah. So, I mean, more power to Dave Jones going over to Epic and doing all that. What it means for Crackdown, we will see one day, maybe. Maybe. We'll see what Crackdown 3 actually has up its sleeve. The first story I had on here originally was a simple one that I saw via Reset Era and then got directed over to Bethesda's thing. Fallout 76 beta is coming first to Xbox One. The question on the FAQ is when and on what platforms will Fallout 76 beta be available? Answer from Bethesda themselves. The beta will be available on Xbox One, PS4, and PC via Bethesda.net. Stay tuned for exact timing for each platform here and at Fallout on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Please note that the beta for Xbox One will begin first, followed by the other platforms. So there you go. Something for you.
That's not surprising.
No. But
these kind of things happen all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody's got to go first. Somebody's got to get out there and do it. You'd think it would be Microsoft because they want to get out there and
break it first on Xbox One.
Can't wait to see what that game is all about. Now, what are your Fallout 76 excitement levels? Anything? Did they? Because you weren't a big Fallout player, period, right?
Yeah, I really enjoyed Fallout 4. I, like many people out there, were bummed that Elder Scrolls got kicked to the back of the line.
Yeah,
I was like, no. So I was sad about that. But I'm gonna play this. I'm concerned that it is coming out mere weeks after Red Dead 2, though.
Yeah,
talking about one giant open world to another. I mean, yeah. Fallout 76 is four times the size of Fallout 4. That's enough to make your head spin. So yeah. That's kind of a bummer. But I mean, it gives us lots to play over the holiday, I guess.
Of course. I still am not. I need to play it. I just looking at it. I'm just like. Yeah. Running around the wasteland with other people, just turning it into we're shooting a bunch of ghouls doesn't feel like Fallout. But yeah. I don't know. I'm going to give it a shot. I like Fallout.
I'm in for the Mega Sloth.
Yeah, of course. The Mega Sloth. Very cute. Very adorable. Number three on the Roper Report. The leaders of Alchemy Labs have bounced. This is via Rebecca Valentine over at GamesIndustry.biz. Two prominent members of the studio behind Job Simulator and Vacation Simulator will soon take a real vacation before beginning a new job. Alchemy Studios co-founder and CEO Alex Schwartz will be leaving the company with studio director Cy Wise to pursue a new unknown project. In a Medium post, Schwartz reflected on his 8 years with Alchemy Labs and its journey from garage-based startup to its 2017 acquisition by Google and various VR accomplishments along the way. Quote, "For me, creating a company that was building innovative products while sustaining itself over the long term was always the goal," Schwartz said. "Taking a leap to make something out of nothing engages me, inspires me, and invigorates me. Occasionally to the point that it takes over my life, but I wouldn't have it any other way. Much like the leaps I took to get Alchemy off the ground, I'm returning to this area of uncertainty and uncharted grounds to build something new." So, of course, shout out to those guys. Vacation Simulator, Job Simulator, great VR games, great PlayStation VR games. Thanks for your support on the PlayStation VR platform.
I feel like they're leaving too soon. Think about all the stories that we've done on this show about studio heads moving on to go to other projects.
Yeah.
Usually it's when they're at their studio for 10 plus years.
Yeah.
Or have shipped multiple successful titles.
Sure.
Like this idea that they've shipped these two games and now they're like, all right, we're leaving. We're done.
Well, I'm not 100% familiar with everything Alchemy Labs has done. Are Job Simulator and Vacation Simulator their only games or just their most recent, most popular games?
Fair question.
I think that might be more because Schwartz has been there 8 years, this says. So that's been a long time, but a garage-based startup to its 2017
Absurd
acquisition.
Absurd and highly polished games is their tag on their website.
That's a good tag for a video game website.
So they did Rick and Morty, Virtual Reality,
sure.
Job Simulator, Vacation Simulator, Discourse,
Jack Lumber's Snuggle Truck,
Cardboard. I'm saying that because there's like five A's in the name.
Yeah, yeah.
These are all VR titles. Snuggle Truck.
For me, I think it's the writing on the wall of, Schwartz was there 8 years and then last year got bought out by Google And now he's like, peace. Whatever.
Oh, maybe that's it. Maybe he's got his paycheck.
Whatever
like,
the deal was for me to stay on long enough throughout this transitionary period, we have come and gone. Maybe it was just a wrap on Vacation Simulator, which I think is coming up soon. I saw it at Judges Week.
Yeah.
I'm sure. All right, cool. That's done. Ink's dry. It's been a pleasure. You have it, Google. I'm going to go start a very similar studio and do crazy little weird things I like to do.
The only reason I brought it up was not to insinuate anything nefarious. Was just starting a business is really difficult.
Yeah. But here's
what I
hear.
The idea of trying to do it again, I'm like, why? You've got this business established.
But here's what I hear from all the people around me that are rich is that they start businesses, sell them, and then start a new one.
Mm.
Whereas you and I have just started businesses and we're like, now we're committed to the bitter end.
Oh,
and
true,
you
right?
got fucking people like Kevin over there sucking on the teat. What?
Just
got
to hang on a little bit till Google starts buying podcasts. And then we're fucking
Google buys podcasts. Google buys kind of funny. Like, what the hell? We're just shutting you down because we're sick of you putting this stuff out on our services.
Fuck yeah, I'm in. Let's do it.
I'll take a payout.
Number three. No, I guess technically number four. I gotta do the math, the addition. Basic additions and add stuff. Number four on this then. Mario Switch. Oh, there's a Mario Switch in Captain Toad Treasure Tracker on Switch. This is via Brian at Nintendo Everything. Captain Toad Treasure Tracker reaches Switch and 3DS next month. On both platforms, Nintendo is including new stages based on Super Mario Odyssey. But rather than adding on, these levels are replacing older content. Super Bell Hill, Conk Door Canyon, Shadowplay Alley, and Clear Pipe Cruise were in the original Wii U version of Captain Toad Treasure Tracker. Nintendo's official Japanese website confirms that they have been swapped out for the new Super Mario Odyssey levels on Switch and 3DS. We're not talking about a tremendous amount of content here, but it looks like you'll need the Wii U version if you're really interested in trying out those Super Mario 3D World stages. An interesting thing I saw, again, this is, I think I saw this on Reset Era as well, where it was just the discussion of like, that's interesting, why? Like, why go through and cut this stuff out and like swap it in? Why not just add more? If you already have the stuff and you do it, like, and we're not game developers. I don't know how easy it is to bring over Captain Toad's Treasure Tracker and do all these things. But it is an interesting thing of trying to forget the Wii U levels existed and trying to promote this one Super Mario Odyssey and swipe aside Super Mario Wii U and be like, that never existed. That never happened.
You never know what Nintendo's doing, really.
Yeah, exactly. But they're up to something over there, making sure you forget all about the Wii U version of Super Mario 3D World. Don't forget that. Super Mario 3D World, a great game. Tim Gettys made a bunch of bullshit predictions about it, trying to come out this year to be this year's Mario. Didn't happen. But remember it. And then get some Luigi Mansion's levels for Mario Odyssey, please. Here's two stories that are going to come in quick succession that are pretty much the exact same thing, but interesting all the same. Number four, Rocket League has detailed its Rocket Pass. This is via Vic Hood over at IGN. Similar to Fortnite's Battle Pass, Rocket League's Rocket Pass will allow players to earn new content through a time-limited progression system. As you earn more Rocket Pass XP, you'll unlock more content. However, this does not replace the current XP-based progression system. There will be two versions of the Rocket Pass made available, free and premium. The free Rocket Pass will allow everyone to unlock rewards, including new customization items, player banners, in-game titles, and decryptors. On the other hand, the premium Rocket Pass upgrade is available for 10 keys, that's $10 US, and Psyonix aims to offer several each year. Unlike Fortnite, there are no challenges to complete to earn XP, as Psyonix is concerned this would, quote, disrupt the competitive balance of Rocket League. Instead, there will be a weekly win bonus, which allows you to level up faster if you win enough games in a week. However, the developer is considering safe ways to give players specific goals in the future. There's going to be like a release. There's more news coming this week that IGN is hypothesizing that's when you get a release date. Meanwhile, Andrea, number six on the Roper Report, PUBG Event Pass has been detailed. This is via Nick Santangelo at IGN. A new map isn't the only thing coming to PUBG on PC this week. On Friday, PUBG's PC version will also get its first Event Pass, a limited time system that will unlock in-game item rewards when players level up by completing specific missions. It seems very similar to Fortnite's Battle Pass. Quote, the Event Pass is designed to reflect the opinions of players who wanted a trackable, progression-related system, and at the same time allows you to unlock new content in PUBG in a way that is different from the crate and key system, reads a PUBG Steam post.
I believe PUBG is also on sale on Steam right now.
It is. That is correct. PUBG's first event pass will go live alongside the new map, Sandhawk, on Friday and will run for about 4 weeks. Andrea, what's your read on everybody copying the Fortnite?
Does this mean Epic is going to sue PUBG Core for copying its battle pass? No, who cares? This is, we saw this happen when Call of Duty started doing season passes with their map packs. And then everybody had a season pass for DLC. Sure. It's fine. That's cool.
Yeah.
The more the merrier.
Personally, I like seeing that. I like that. I mean, you want to call them copycats. You want to do whatever you want to call them, whatever, and be rude about it. If I'm a Rocket League player, if I'm a PUBG player and somebody's doing something elsewhere in a very interesting fashion, I'd love for them to cross that over and actually make it. And playing Fortnite today, like, it's fun to fill in all these different XP bars and loot enough ammo cases and do all these different things that you're just filling things in. You feel like you're making progress. If I was super hardcore into Rocket League and I have seen the progression system to death, I'd much rather have this weird, the unlock system that, you know, mirrors the battle pass.
Absolutely. I think it just gives players more incentive to keep coming back to your game. And now that I'm like fully sucked back into Destiny, I'm looking forward for their pass that's coming out next year.
You think they'll do it?
What do you mean?
Did they announce it?
They announced it at E3.
Destiny announces too much stuff now. I can't keep up.
It's true.
And somebody who's like, when Andrea tells me to play it again, that's when I'll play it.
Well, I saw Deej at E3. We had a nice long chat on the Facebook stage and I had like a heart to heart with him afterwards. And I was like, I was mad.
You did me dirty.
He was like, I know. You weren't the only one. like, I know. I was like, but I love this game. He's like, we do too. We hope you like the changes. And I was like, just make them come out sooner. Push the launch up to July. Let's go.
They'll do whatever they can, I'm sure. Final story on the Roper Report for today. Number 7. American Girl dolls are adding an Xbox gaming set. This is from the American Girl dolls website. Dolls can get ready to play and win in tournaments with friends. It includes a pretend Xbox One S games console that projects 10 different gaming scenes, an Xbox One S controller that dolls can really hold, a comfy faux leather game chair with built-in speaker. It includes a cord that plugs into personal devices to play music or other sounds, pretend wireless gaming headphones with an adjustable mic to chat with friends, 2 fun game discs to insert into the console projector, and 2 cases to keep them safe. All devices are pretend, it says very clearly.
I'm so excited for this. I haven't thought about American Girl dolls in forever. And then when I saw Major Nelson tweeting about this and we talked about it on What's Good last night, I was like, this is happening.
You get it?
I'm definitely getting it. I don't know which doll I'm going to get yet.
I was
going
to say, you got to get a doll with it, right?
Well, yeah.
There's got to be one on there that's just a little bit on the creepy line that looks a lot like you that you can get.
So there's a girl, a doll, her name is Willa, and she's got these really cute pigtails. But you can do custom dolls that kind of look like you.
Okay.
So I think I'm kind of going to look. What? Why is it weird, Kevin?
It's not creepy,
Kevin. What's creepy about it? Everything.
Kevin, I want a doll of you.
Kevin, did you never have like a favorite toy or anything?
Did you not just hear that? Like, that's exactly what's creepy about it.
Kevin, I want to doll you.
Why do you think it's creepy? Don't you think that that's sweet? He just wants to snuggle you at night.
Somebody out there can make 3D printed things, right? Make me a Kevin doll. It's not hard. Just buy a Mick Foley doll and like sand it down. make it look just like Kevin.
Oh my god!
I always thought it was weird that like you get a doll that looks like you, because it's like you don't have friends that look like you. Why would you want to play with you? Like, you want to play with other people.
Well, it's because
freaking me out, man.
I guess I never had a doll that looked like me growing up.
They had a boy version.
Why?
Well, they do have boy dolls.
They have American Boy? I don't know if that was when I was growing up, if they had that.
No, they did.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll show you the doll that I'm thinking about getting.
Okay. Well,
she's really cute. Look at how cute she is.
Kevin, you want a sky cam here on Willa?
Yeah, sure. Hold on, give me 2 seconds.
There's no hurry, man. You take your time. You're a listener at home, it's just like Andrew described. It's a doll with pigtails named Willa.
Is it creepy?
No.
No, she's not creepy. She's got these really cute little socks on.
Hold on, we're so close.
There we go. We got the rack zoom. There you go. Yeah, yeah.
See, and what's great about it is when you zoom in on her face, she's got freckles just like I do. Oh. And her eyes are green, too.
Oh.
Look at how cute she is.
No. This is creepy shit.
Now, are you going to go the full 9 and buy, like, a blank shirt that you can then put the What's Good stuff on and put it on her, too?
That's genius.
I'm just saying, like,
science ain't meant to be here.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Think about it. Then you get the other girls to buy it, too. And then you recreate the set. And then you do a little podcast.
This is happening. Terrifying. I'm doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
This is exactly what I was afraid of.
I put this one in there. because I honestly think it's really cool.
Yeah,
the American Girl doll is taking this on.
And the console projects like a little gaming image up on the wall.
Yeah.
Which is like, It's a little touchy.
I mean, it's from growing up in the 80s, I like how far we've come that it's like, yeah, you know, video games are for everybody. And it's not the, you know, how like even when people started trying to do this shit and it'd be like, nah, she comes with a pink console and the projection is just like princesses. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It projects doom. It's just, you know, hardcore
the
killing.
The gaming chair is a speaker.
They thought everything.
They really did.
Good on you, American Girl on Xbox. Go get them. Of course, it's an Xbox One S. I don't know why I want to give them an X, but that's
because it's cute and white.
They make a white one, the X now, don't they? Xbox One X?
I think so.
Yeah.
But the Xbox One S was the first white Xbox.
Okay. I'll give that to you. With the exception of the 360, that was like white out of the box. Burn, gotcha. Gotcha. Fucking gotcha. Don't, no, you're wrong us. I got it. No,
I'm
we
glad
got him.
That you got me there because somebody was going to write
it. Bring it up,
shit.
Kevin. We got her.
Oh, the champ strikes again. Oh, my God.
Andrea, it's been an interesting Roper report, but if I wanted to get out of this segment and go somewhere else, where would I go?
Maybe you can think about going to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. The slow news day continues here. Out today, Grab the Bottle on Switch. Which, like, I immediately jumped to some game about alcoholism or grabbing the bottle and fighting, but I don't know what it is. Kevin, if you can get me a trailer for Grab the Bottle, I'll be in your debt.
On Switch?
Yeah. Then new dates for you. World of Warships Legends is scheduled to release in 2019 with more information to be revealed at Gamescom 2018. So hold on to your asses, World of Warships fans. There's Legends coming. Now, it's time for... hold on, before we go there, this is the Grab the Bottle trailer. Oh, my God.
Give me two.
What is this?
It's. I was going to say, the third thing would be that you're grabbing a baby bottle, and apparently that is what the fuck is going on. If you're a listener at home, we have a snake hand coming out. It's a hand coming out of a crib.
I'm not going to lie. This is kind of cool.
This is like a terror. This is horrifying.
It's really gross looking. So this bottle.
It's like Mr. Fantastic as a baby.
Oh, it goes back quick, too. It goes back real quick.
It snaps back like a tape measure.
Yikes.
So what's the point? I don't understand. Why can't he just go straight into the bottle?
He can die.
Straight to the bottle.
Yeah. Here you go. He's got to grab the block to make this thing happen.
Oh, the hand is so creepy. When the arm is extending, the fingers are closed like a Barbie hand. And then when you go to grab something, the fingers all extend and they wiggle like jazz hands.
It's the opposite, isn't
it? See?
No, thank you. No, thank you.
Gross.
I'm creeped out, Kevin. Take it away, Kevin. Take it off the screen, Kevin. We're moving on to reader mail. This is brought to you, of course, by brooklinen.com. You spend a third of your life in the sheets. They make a difference with how you sleep. So start getting better sleep with the best sheets ever. That's brooklinen.com, the best, most comfortable sheets without a big markup. Upgrade your nightly routine and help you feel more well-rested each and every day. Brooklinen is the fastest-growing bedding brand in the world. Over 15,000 five-star reviews and the winner of the best of online bedding category for good housekeeping. Of course, you've heard it here. I use it. I sleep on it. If you go to Instagram.com/GameOverGreggy right now, there are stories of Portillo in that bed right now. I enjoy these sheets quite a bit. I was able to impress Jen by picking them out myself because you get to mix and match all the colors and patterns on the site so you don't buy stuff that clashes and looks dumb. You can get $20 off and free shipping when you use the promo code GAMES at brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all their sheets and comforters. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use the promo code GAMES at brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code GAMES. Brooklinen. These are the best sheets ever. Meanwhile, we're also sponsored by MeUndies. You've definitely heard me talk about MeUndies. You know, the fun, comfy undies that feel as good as they look. To those of you that haven't tried them yet, listen up. It's like an aggressive ad now.
Yeah.
You can get incredible underwear sent to your door with MeUndies, meaning no more hunting around for the perfect pair at a crowded store and eventually settling for good enough. That's right. You don't need to be like old Greg and go into Walgreens and take off your underwear and try them on in the aisle.
Did you
can get these delivered right to your door.
He wasn't the champ then.
Oh my God.
MeUndies is so sure you'll love the first pair. And if you're not happy with it, they'll do whatever they can to make it right. And if they can't, keep them and they'll refund you. It's risk-free to try the best underwear. And if you're already part of the MeUndies fam, tell your friends about it through their referral program. They'll get a discount and you'll get store credit. It's a win-win. Don't do that. Just tell them about the URL I'm going to read in a second. MeUndies has a deal for you, listener. First-time purchasers get 20% off their first pair of MeUndies and free shipping. That's 20% off plus free shipping, and a guarantee that you and your MeUndies will be happy together. Get your butt over to MeUndies.com and treat yourself to get 20% off your first pair, free shipping, a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go to MeUndies.com/gamesdaily. That's MeUndies.com/gamesdaily. I wear them every day. I love them.
They're very comfortable.
Francis writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, "Hey, KFGD hosts. Excuse me for asking another E3 related question." You don't have to apologize, Francis. We're in the E3 hangover right now where people are like, there's nothing left to do or say. But I believe only you guys can answer. What is the state of games that are shown behind closed doors? Is it some kind of super early version where maybe there aren't voiceovers yet? What don't the devs want the public to see in those demos? I'm very curious since I don't work in games media and will most likely never see a game behind a closed door in my life. Thanks. Love the work you guys did at E3. Francis.
Francis, it varies quite dramatically depending on the studio, but we very, very rarely see games that are so early that they have gray boxes still, that there's no voices, that there's assets missing. That does happen like sporadically.
Sure.
But it's not common.
I think it's more, even Cyberpunk, right? Which was the big behind closed doors demo. I don't think necessarily that voiceover is going to be the final voiceover in the game, right? I would say from a broad stroke, a behind the closed door session is important because a gaming journalist, media personality, whatever you want to call them, when they come in, understands development to at least some extent of what I'm seeing is not the final product. Whereas, I don't know if you guys have ever, I know this is going to be a bold claim. If you've ever looked at the comments of any YouTube video about anything, people are mad and nitpicky about everything, especially video games. Mm-hmm. So if you were to say, take the Cyberpunk, hey, we're in the middle of this game's development, we can't even see the finish line yet, and just put that hour up on for somebody else to see and just walk in blindly, they're going to walk in and be like, oh my God, like, sure, the game's going to be impressive and it does all these things that we're amazed by, but oh, I don't like the VO. Oh, did you see this graphical glitch over here? Did you see how the world didn't react right here? Somebody got stuck in a door. There's so many little things that happen in a polished video game that you can't control, let alone in something you're still is a work in progress. And I think with Cyberpunk, again, what I found interesting, and I know CD Projekt Red's been good about or been doing this before, is that when the Cyberpunk demo finished, they had handed out paperwork and they were like, hey, if you don't mind, can you guys write down your thoughts and opinions on the demo of like what you liked and what you didn't and blah, 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 in case you just to write down actually notes and turn it into them. They were using it kind of as a focus group on top of being a game preview. Now, granted, I know ethics might, some people might bristle at that. I think it's the same stuff you were going to go say on your video, on your preview, on whatever. I think it falls into that category. But it was a very much, I think, a way of, hey, we want to know what people don't like about this in a small group before we give it out to the millions of people.
Yeah, they did that very extensively with The Witcher 3, yeah. Which is why I wasn't compelled to go to their behind closed doors demo because I knew that Britt and Steimer were going. And so I was like, well, we should split up and see as much as possible. And I also saw The Witcher behind closed doors in three separate hour-long appointments over 3 years of E3. Mm-hmm. So I was like, this is the first one for Cyberpunk. I have no doubt we're going to see it at E3 again next year and potentially the year after that.
Probably the year after that.
And they always asked for extensive feedback on The Witcher. But I think that helped make The Witcher one of the best games of all time.
Sure. And I mean, you know, the other big behind closed door stuff I think I saw... Well, I saw a bunch of stuff behind closed doors, but like the other one that jumps to mind is PlayStation, where they handled it very different than how Cyberpunk did, where it was, all right, cool. I went and saw the same Ghost of Tsushima demo, except this time utilizing photo mode in the Japanese language track. And then for Last of Us, saw the same trailer section in the beginning, the same demo, this time just played by somebody playing it in front of me to see that it is, you know, in a playable state and all these different things. Those kind of behind closed doors, you know, especially Sucker Punch, afforded you the opportunity to ask questions and, hey, I see you're doing this. Why are you doing that? How is that working? And even at the end of Last of Us, it was, if you have a question for Neil or Scott or whoever you want to do it, you can have an interview, you can talk to them. Everybody uses behind closed doors differently, but like you're saying, you're more likely than not, in my experience, to have somebody be like, hey, something's not finished. We want to show you this cinematic that has gray box, and they show it to you on their phone or iPad or something like that.
Right.
That's more where of a the GDC real thing. Shit happens. Yeah. Adam Wells writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like you can, and says, Angry Greg voice, Gregory Cornelius Miller. I know that's not your middle name. No need to explain. How are you not irate angry about the lack of a Spider-Man PS4 Pro? You can lower your voice. I have been waiting for you to point out how Sony dropped the ball on this. Kids in the never-ending Kingdom Hearts waiting room get to be okay looking, get an okay-looking PS4 Pro, but no sign at all from E3 of a special Spidey-themed console. Also, they still haven't revealed what the Collector's Edition statue looks like. It's sold out at every retailer. There's little to no reason for them not to reveal it yet. What is going on with Sony's marketing department? Love the show. Congrats on the one year and a day of Kinda Funny Games Daily.
Let me just drop a little tidbit of information.
She's
on
rolling
you.
Up her sleeves, not literally, but she's going to lay you out in a second, Adam Wells.
You know who's difficult to do contracts with? Disney.
Mm.
So I'm going to point to that as to why we haven't seen hardware yet. I have to believe that there will be hardware. I asked Brian Intihar about this when we were talking about Spider-Man.
Yeah.
He was very cagey and was like, oh, we don't have anything to announce at this time, as they do. But my past experience working with Marvel and Disney has shown that they cross their T's and dot their I's very thoroughly before they sign any agreements. And hardware, custom hardware deals are one of the trickiest things because there's like royalties and there's split payments. Sure. And then you have to think about it in different territories and like all of that like legal mumbo jumbo behind the scenes. So I would guess that they're probably still wrapping that up, maybe finalizing production. Who knows?
You are 1,000,000% getting a Spider-Man PS4 Pro bundle. And I'll even say this. You're 100% getting a Spider-Man PS4 bundle. I hope to God it's Pro. You have to imagine it's Pro. God of War was Pro. They know what they're doing with first party or exclusive stuff.
Or maybe they make dual versions of both of them. You get to get two.
Oh my God. What if one was black with the symbiote on it and one
was
God.
Red?
You're 100% getting it. What's going on with Sony's marketing department? I don't think they're wrong for not doing this. It's a September release. Let's get out of the shockwave of E3 and then really put the pedal down.
You know what's next month, Greg?
What's that?
Comic-Con? San Diego Comic-Con. Be a perfect place to announce a comic book hero themed custom console.
Huh?
You know, just the thought. Just the thought.
Interesting, man. You know, a lot of cool panels at Comic-Con. I wonder if there'll be anything there about games and Marvel and things like that. And if anybody, you know, hosts them. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on. In terms of like, why haven't they revealed the Collector's Edition statue? Similar thing maybe that they're finalizing, but also, who the fuck cares? It's all sold out. You don't even need to worry about it. Nobody wanted to wait, and the ones that wanted to wait got fucked. So there you go. Mm-hmm. Congratulations, everybody. You'll get everything. It's all coming. Adam Wells. Spider-Man plays really well. I can't fucking wait to have that game. Christian writes in thekindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hey, Greg and Andrea. Steam just added the ability to see how much you've spent on your account. And safe to say, the number shocked me quite a bit. $6,100 is what Christian has spent on Steam so far. This made me wonder, what do you think you've spent in total digitally on your primary platform? The lack of physical copies was a big reason for getting blown away by my total spend, as the only thing I have to show for it is basically memories and a long list of texts. You put way too much into Paragon, right? Wasn't that? I remember that was one we talked about recently.
I spent a lot of money on that game. Yeah. Yes, but you and I have spoke several times about how we are incredibly
lucky.
Privileged to have a lot of games given to us for free.
Yeah.
And a lot of DLC packs and things given to us for free. So our numbers probably aren't reflective of the averages.
Yeah, that's the problem of trying to figure out where it actually breaks down and what you've done. Because, nickel and dime stuff, like what? Like, you know, like I talked about, I bought Battle Pass in Fortnite or whatever. I did it again on Switch two nights ago. And then, like, really, it's like DC Universe Online where it really starts adding up of like, I still do, even though I don't think I'll ever play it, but I want them to have the money and keep the servers on of like, here's the $120 it is a year to make sure I don't have to worry about deleting Shuhei Yoshida, who I'll never play as again. But I got, you know, I'm only Taylor Swift, my main in there. But
yeah,
I don't know. It would be disturbing, and I do not want to know what I've spent on PlayStation Life to date at all. That I don't need to see that number. Because like
the whole ecosystem?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess if you think about it from all the way from the beginning of when your PSN ID was created to now.
Sure. Because I mean, even with the stuff we get, like I always say, like if I'm playing a game I got for review or for whatever and I really love it, I'm more likely than to go buy like Witcher. You know, I was playing The Witcher, loved The Witcher, put 30 hours into it, and I was like, I gotta stop. I can't do this. But I still had bought the season pass by that point, even though I was never gonna touch Blood and Wine. But it was like, you've earned this money. I want you to be rewarded for what you've done, even though I got the game for review code and stuff like that. I'm I had never thought of that question until in college. I was being interviewed for, someone was doing a school paper or whatever, a report on video games or hobbies or something like that. And I ran them through every console I had owned. And she was not a video game person. She was just like, do you ever stop and think about how much money you've wasted on this? And I was like, whoa, wasted.
That's not what it is. Did you tell her to GTFO?
Nah, she was a nice lady. She just didn't know she was talking about it. Okay. It happens all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm there. I'm not gonna throw it in her face.
Good.
Samair Beer writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hey, Greg, I noticed something in The Last of Us Part 2 gameplay reveal that supports your theory. When Ellie and Dina kiss, Dina has this bracelet on her hand. And when they cut to Ellie holding the knife to some dude's neck, Ellie now has the bracelet. So I guess Dina is taken or killed, and that is when Ellie is out to take revenge in the gameplay, like in the first trailer, quote, I'm going to find them, and I'm going to kill everyone, last one of them. Thoughts? Yes. This is literally what I said, Samir Beer. Not the bracelet part, but like that was her motivation for doing all this. So as usual, everyone just needs to listen to me and get on my side of the argument. And if I have to fucking ever argue with you all about Superman again, it would not. They're not going to make a Superman game in the DCEU. Don't at me. Kevin?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Sometimes you got to say it, Kev. Sometimes you got to say it, Andrew, you know? How much... It was something I don't know about you. Mm-hmm. How much do you like to watch a trailer and then try to deconstruct what's going on around it and how?
Never.
Yeah.
I never do that.
Okay.
Love it.
People far more clever than I are better at it.
Mm-hmm.
So like the problem I get
to is whenever I think I've nailed the story, like Last of Us or Uncharted or whatever, right? Where I'm like, I fucking nailed it. And I'm like, oh, well, and if I can guess it, that's probably not what's going to happen. Druckmann and Amy back in the day, they weren't going to allow that to happen.
Probably not.
No, but I think this part is right. This part's fine. But then it's like, is Joel dead? Is he a ghost? Who knows? Are we doing the time jump I keep predicting with the mom and Ellie? Who knows? Final question of the day comes from Shane, who wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, Greg and Tim, I'm swinging a miss, Shane. When Smash was dated for the 7th of December, my first thought was this knocks it out of the running for the Game Awards. So I looked at when they are, and they are the day before. Nintendo has a major presence at the Game Awards, like their double Bayonetta announcements last year. Do you guys think Nintendo took this into consideration when planning the date? Do you think the biggest character reveal, parentheses like a third party, will be saved to be revealed there the day before Smash? Thanks for everything and happy anniversary, Shane.
I hate to break it to you, but just because of the day before the Game Awards does not make them eligible for the Game Awards. The cutoff release date, I believe, is 2 weeks ahead of the awards.
Something like that.
Based off judging from last year, I think it was like around November 24th.
That sounds about right.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
So unless they move their date up, I think even if they're playable for the judging panel, they have to still be released to the public by a specific date, and the day before is too soon.
My biggest
thing, but also, I don't think Nintendo cares about the Game Awards being in contention.
The Game Awards are first, so that doesn't even matter for his thing. It's Game Awards Thursday, Friday is Smash.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's more concerned. Definitely doesn't matter.
His more concern is, do you think we'll get a major character reveal at the Game Awards? To which I say, no way in hell. No way in hell. Like, that'd be a cool thing to do, sure, but you're telling me they're going to keep this character under wraps through the review process? Because your Smash reviews will be out, if not right then, which I don't think they'll be. I would, within that week they'd be coming out.
Yeah, Nintendo's been doing their embargoes for review a week up to 2 weeks early.
Yes, what Mario Tennis Aces just lifted this morning at 5 a.m. and that's coming out Friday, right? Yeah, so it's all over the place. But I also, with all due respect to Aces, which I enjoy the multiplayer of and don't enjoy the single player of, I don't think they were expecting as good a reviews as Smash is going to get. They're going to want Smash crammed down your throat. I think it's going to be all over there. It's possible that you might get a DLC trailer then, if they're going to do that. But even then, it's weird for Nintendo to announce like in detail and show you the DLC before the game's out, right? They didn't do that for Zelda. They announced there'd be DLC, showed it to you a long time later, and then it's even weirder for you to have a game called Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, and then it's got everybody, and then, hey, the day before it releases, it doesn't have everybody. This guy's coming later. Doesn't sound right. But it's a cool idea. Andrea,
mm-hmm.
It's time to squad up.
Let's do it.
This is where one of you listeners/viewers writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in video games. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Strap in. This is a long one. Dustin needs help on mobile. His mobile name is Stixdun. STIXDUN. Dustin says, with all the Kingdom Hearts news that came out of E3 2018, I'm all aboard the hype train for that there Kingdom Hearts 3. I've been a longtime player of the Kingdom Hearts mobile game, Kingdom Hearts Union Cross, but none of my close friends play it. So I was wondering if there were any other best friends out there who might also be looking to squad up and get their Kingdom Hearts geek on. I made a new party in the game called Kinda Funny GD. The playstyle is casual, and the approval to join is set to auto. The rank is bronze, since I'm the only current member. If you don't want to just constantly hit refresh on the search function while looking for it, since the game won't let you search by party name directly, come on, Square, you can just hit me up on Twitter with your player ID number, and I can send you a direct invitation. My Twitter is at Dustin Menke. D-U-S-T-I-N-M-E-N-K. If you want to play this nerdy-ass Kingdom Hearts game on your phone, hit up your boy Dustin. Play with him. Andrea.
Yes.
We ask people watching this show live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screwed up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight. And for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe, what did we screw up today?
There's a lot of editorializing here today, Greg.
These sons of bees.
Not gonna lie. Let's see.
No, this is, you are not into it. You are
like
not
the first four ones are like, well, excuse me.
Actually, the American Girl dolls.
Somebody actually wrote in about the American Girl doll.
Of course they did.
So Andrew said the doll was creepy, and in fact, it is not creepy. It in fact is very creepy.
Wasn't that Kevin who said that?
Yeah, he fucked that up. But I agree with him. Very creepy. Some weird shit.
All right. Carrillo Dude says, not a correction, but a clarification. The four levels being replaced in Captain Toad Treasure Tracker were full levels from Super Mario 3D World that you just walked through. So we're really getting four more real Treasure Tracker puzzle levels and losing four boring point A to point B levels.
Excellent. Thank you very much. That's a great you're wrong. See what happened there? Not editorializing. Well, I guess calling it boring is one thing, but giving me the hard facts, that's what I like. Kevin, when I get your doll, I'm going to give him the hard facts all night long.
Oh.
Everybody make me Kevin dolls, please.
Okay, G Jesus says Xbox One X only comes in black.
Really? All right.
I thought for sure there was a white one.
Kindoffunny.com/ you're wrong. We got to be wrong. And if not, the chat will lead him a laugh. We don't have to worry about it.
I mean, yeah, there's the Quantum Break special edition right here.
You son of a bitch. I fucking can't believe I trusted you guys. What? Wait, for Xbox One X? That's what I was saying. Xbox One X. That would be the confusion. Quantum Break was way before that.
Yeah.
A great game you all slept on. Don't sleep on Control. It looks great.
Yeah.
Remedy.
I guess not. How did they not make a white one?
Well, then they have something to put out later.
It's true. Okay. Continuing on. Thank you for that. This is
That was Smurfs. That was Smurfs.
It was Smurfs. More about the Xbox.
Mike, use your mic.
Hey.
How many times
I have pretty good mic discipline, Kevin.
Right, not right there, you didn't.
How many times have you cosplayed or gone to a costume whatever Halloween as Smurfette?
None.
You should do that. That'd be a good one for you.
That means I don't have to paint my face blue though.
Yeah.
I don't like doing full face paint.
You could be Mystique too. You'd be a good Mystique.
Thank you, but that would be a very difficult costume to do.
Just do bodysuit.
Yeah, bodysuit.
I could maybe do a bodysuit.
Cool.
Still got to do the blue face, though.
Well, my dream... Did I tell you about my dream cosplay?
Playing on me.
3 days over Comic-Con. Jean Grey. Ooh. Phoenix. Dark Phoenix.
Ooh!
I'm going to do like a 3-day, but it'd be really expensive to do all three of those costumes.
Somebody will sponsor it. Get someday. Doritos to do it.
Okay, let's see here. In new dates, Zach says, you missed the Playdead announced Limbo and Inside are coming to Switch on June 28th.
Fair. Thank you. Good one. I'll take it.
Kebab says, Andrew said the S was the first white Xbox One and the exclusive Sunset Overdrive Xbox One was actually the first white Xbox One. Thank you. More white Xbox clarifications? Lord of Pwn says, speaking of Cyberpunk, audio from the Behind Closed Doors demo leaked. Potential relevant news, but no need to broadcast that.
Is it relevant news?
No, because I think people wrote that up. But also, What? Who's the jerk that's recording the audio in a behind closed doors demo?
Hi, we're CD Projekt Red. We very clearly ask you, tell you that you can record. You weren't even supposed to record, were you?
So sometimes reporters will record the audio from the demos to use it to pull quotes for their coverage, but you're never supposed to publicly release
100% there, but I was walking into the fact of, did they say you couldn't record at all, period?
I don't know.
Because, yeah, obviously having a tape recorder to go for questions and answers is one thing. But, hey, we're CD Projekt Red. We're one of the nicest developers. We're foreign. We're too nice here. You come to America, they seem even nicer.
Yeah.
And then somebody's like, let's fuck them over, record their audio, and put it up.
Yeah, that's true.
Nah, yeah, that's bad.
Kebab says there's a very good reason why the Spider-Man Collector's Edition statue hasn't been fully revealed. It's actually a spoiler and will come with a note telling you to not unbox it until you've completed the story.
That's cool.
This is revealed in Insomniac's latest Twitch stream of the game.
That is really cool.
Which means that this is going to be all over the internet immediately.
Guess what, everybody?
Why would they do that?
You're not allowed to look at your Twitter as soon as this game's coming
out. Oh my gosh.
Okay. It's going to be Miles Morales holding Peter's dead body.
No! Jeez, that's dark.
May will have all the Sinister Six powers.
Oh, no! Like the comics!
Right. It'll be Doc Ock's arms coming out of her eyes.
That makes sense!
Kebabs also says, I doubt a Spider-Man PS4 will be symbiote-themed. Insomniac confirmed in their latest Twitch stream that there will be no symbiotes in their Spider-Man game.
That was a joke, but that is actually good news there at the end. Thank you.
I am so high.
Maybe he puts on the black outfit at the end, though. Maybe it isn't symbiote, you know?
Okay, I want to make a clarification here. Luke Carr Wolf says, a correction question. Andrea mentioned that Spider-Man may not get a PS4 Pro due to Disney being hard to work with. That is not what I said. I didn't say they were hard to work with. I said they are difficult and challenging because they cross their T's and dot their I's, meaning they are so on top of their business to make sure to protect their business that it takes a little bit longer to get the deal done. Hard to work with insinuates that they're over being there like, nah, we don't want to do it.
We hate you and we hate Spider-Man.
You know who loves making money? Disney. You know how they're going to make money? By selling custom Spider-Man consoles. They just need to get the business deals worked out.
Sure.
Right? Because PlayStation's like, hey, we're going to give you this much, but Disney's like, we want this much. And then PlayStation's like, no, we're only going to give you this much. It's a negotiation. Just to clarify, I'm not insinuating that Disney are jerks. We all love Disney. Because then he writes on to say, wouldn't that also apply to Kingdom Hearts 3? It may be developed by Square Enix, but Kingdom Hearts is still a Disney-owned franchise.
Yeah.
That deal probably, though, was done
a long time ago.
A long time ago. Because Kingdom Hearts 3 has been in development forever.
Probably designed a PS3.
Don't write in about you're wrong about how long it's been in development.
We don't care. It's been a long time.
Okay. Continuing on. This is already about Kingdom Hearts being owned by Disney. Yes. You guys, you're wrong is not for these nitpicky semantical things. It's for things like the collector's edition statue.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
That's a perfect you're wrong.
You're all abusing you're wrong. Kevin, tell him.
God damn it, you mother.
Thank you, Kevin.
And Lord of Pwn says, the demo for Cyberpunk 2077 said no photo or video recording, not specifically audio.
Okay, well.
But yes, bad for leaking it. Yeah. Found a loophole.
Ladies and gentlemen. This has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Tomorrow, Jared Petty returns to the show before the Kind of Funny Games cast. Andrea Renee off to Seattle to enjoy the lovely Seattle weather. Are you taking the Frasier tour?
I don't know what that is.
There was a show called Frasier set in Seattle.
Well, I'm aware of what Frasier is.
Maybe I hear the blues are calling. You remember it. Everybody loved it. Kelsey Grammer. It was great.
No, it's not part of our agenda.
I don't know if it exists, but if it does, you should go on it. Yeah, I don't know. You've got to. The thing is, I guess they didn't go to a lot of real Seattle stuff there.
Yeah.
He just had a great view from his apartment.
Well, I was trying to book dinner at the Space Needle, but it's under renovation.
Mm. Boo.
Made me real sad.
Boo, Space Needle.
Each and every weekday here on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Watch it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Watch it later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. And listen on podcast services around the globe, no matter where you get the show. Thank you for your support. Consider going to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Keeping the lights and mics on. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.